Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Salty Sisters. I'm Brianna.
I'm Kristen. We just had a very traumatic experience up here in the studio.
You know, this microphone, which is maybe 6 inches from my face, I was just kind of like maneuvering it like Mark instructed us to do. And there was a stink bug on it, which took me forever to notice. And then Kristen and I both got up and were freaking out. And then I wadded up about 35 Kleenexes and I got it. It's all fine.
And I don't know if stink bugs are native to Michigan, but they weren't in Minnesota.
They are in Minnesota.
Oh, are
now.
They? Okay.
Yeah. Before
they're
we
so
moved,
ugly.
I think I saw one and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. Gross. And they don't stink bad. I Googled it because I'm always curious of like what the scent is. And it's like not vinegar, but like something like that. It's not like decaying flesh or something.
They are notorious for we camp, and then when we winterize our camper and never go in it again until spring, they kind of go in there and burrow, and then they're dead most of the time. But they'll like, you'll turn your heater on and they'll like pop out of your heater, and they're in the curtains when you, or the blinds when you undo them.
Now that you just told me that, do you feel bad for when we both jumped out of our seats saying you hate it up here and that you don't ever know what kind of weird shit you're going to find up here since they come out of your walls and your camper?
No, I don't feel bad about that.
All right.
Okay.
I know. We got to just
decompress. Okay. Welcome. Yeah, everybody. Big week. Big weekend last weekend. Let's talk Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. I mean, so much for it being a really exciting game all the way through. Kristen's going to kill me if I say anything else about the Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl from several years ago. But it's important to note that that game was also super fucking boring until the end of the third quarter. So it's kind of like deja vu a bit. But hey, Chiefs pulled it out in some weird, funky new rule overtime.
Yeah, it's not funky. The rule has, I mean, it's been, I don't know if it's been a year or two, but it's not funky. I understood the rule. Some of the San Francisco players apparently didn't understand the rule.
Which, isn't that crazy that you understand the rule and these players playing for the fucking Super Bowl don't understand it?
It changed with the Bills-Chiefs playoff game a year or two ago when it went into overtime. I believe this was it. And the Bills didn't even get a chance to get the ball back because Kansas City just got a touchdown. Mm. So that was that.
I was listening to the New Heights podcast and they were talking about it. And Jason Kelce was even saying that during the playoffs, like the coaches and the coaches coaching staff and would drill this into their heads about this rule.
Yeah.
So he was saying, like, I'm assuming like the coaching staff on the 49ers would have done the same thing. It was almost that they couldn't believe that this happened the way it did, that they didn't elect to get
they took the ball. Yeah.
Crazy. And I didn't understand what was going on until they were on like that final play and you and Phil must have been talking about it. And I was like, wait, if they score a touchdown, the game is over? Like, what do you mean? But I'm also not playing for a Super Bowl ring, so it's fine if I didn't understand it. But
right.
Nuts.
Nuts. Yeah. And I thought about this days after. I watched that last play, the final play, so many times. And I kept thinking to myself, because Kansas City all year has their receivers are bad. They drop balls constantly. They just make really stupid fucking mistakes. And I watched that play over and over. And I'm like, this guy, he could have dropped this. I mean, there was going to be no time left. They banked every single thing on this final play. And it was so perfectly executed. But was it Hardman that caught it? I mean, mm-hmm. He could have just dropped it like
he said
in the moment.
Out.
Oh, and it was so, I've watched it so many times. You see Travis Kelce's not even doing anything except watching the Jumbotron to see if he catches it. And so good.
Which is insane because that was 2 second play. But mm-hmm. Like when you slow it down, I don't even
it
know.
It was fun. The game was fun. It was boring at first, but then it wasn't. So
I don't want to like shade the halftime show, but I feel that we are all very excited for Usher. You and I talked about it last week. He came out. We were trying to guess the first song he was going to come out with. And it was a snippet of the throwback song. And then he just kind of started dancing. And then the mic, I don't know if it was bouncing too much, but he was just singing a couple words. And then it was just like split seconds of these songs that we grew up with and loved so much. And I appreciated, I mean, he's a great dancer. He looks fantastic, but I don't know. I was very disappointed in it. Alicia Keys killed it.
Man, she's beautiful. Her voice is so good. She did so good. I love her.
Do you know what's frustrating? So whoever watched the Super Bowl live, you heard it. when she went, started right away, like her voice cracked a tiny bit. And Mark said that whoever edits this stuff for the Super Bowl, like went and like edited that out. So if you go watch it on YouTube now, it's not there. Hmm. You know what? I've got a real big problem with that. Alicia Keys sings live, is fantastic. She's a human being. And just leave it alone, you know?
Oh, it doesn't bother me.
This girl is on fire. Maybe she asked for it. I guess I shouldn't be so quick to judge.
Usher was meh to me as well. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he didn't do a good job. I feel like I was not that excited for Usher. And, you know, the hype of the day, I was starting to get excited. And he just didn't win me over. I've grown up with Usher. I get it. It's Usher. Cool.
Usher. The four of us also needed a change in energy level at that time. And just didn't.
Agreed. So do you want to talk about some of the commercials?
Yes.
Okay. What were your faves?
I think my top favorite one was the Arnold Schwarzenegger commercial.
So funny.
Neighbor.
Neighbor.
Yeah. I loved it.
It was so funny.
Christopher Walken commercial. I think we all like chuckled at. The Ben Affleck Dunkin' Donuts commercial. I accidentally saw a really quick snippet of that before the Super Bowl, which we've all said is annoying that they do that. But that commercial went a lot better than I thought it was going to, and I laughed harder at it than I thought I was going to.
Okay, sorry, you go and then.
Oh, and then my last one that I have written down is the Michael Cera commercial about the CeraVe, which was just kind of stupid, but I love Michael Cera, and I giggled.
Yeah, to have Michael Cera in a Super Bowl commercial was special because
weird.
He's great.
Yeah, but like, where did that come from?
Right. I mean, George Michael.
Michael CeraVe, am I right?
Right. I also like the Arnold Schwarzenegger commercial. I really thought the Dunkin' one was funny, and I would like to not like it because it's so, like, commercial, I guess. But
do you think you liked it more, or it made it easier to like it more because it had Matt Damon and it wasn't just J-Lo and Ben Affleck?
Oh, yeah. I think Tom Brady was, and I don't even really like Tom Brady that much. He's the one who won it over for me.
Good.
Because it was so fucking random, and it's really not that random because they're all friends.
Yeah.
But Patriots. That was pretty funny. That was surprising to me. I really liked the Paramount, Drew Barrymore, Sir McKinnon commercial.
Did that even play on the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it was when you guys were in cooking this stuff during halftime.
Because I was thinking back on that and I don't remember it playing out, but I do remember that you very much liked that.
It's weird because they played it and it was a shorter version, and then two commercials later they played it and it was the regular version. So
interesting.
Also the Jason Momoa with Zach Braff.
Oh,
which was actually pretty funny. Like,
I forgot about that one.
I don't think the Zach Braff commercials and Donald Faison ones are that good, but you bring in Momoa and it was really funny.
I forgot about that one.
I know.
We did chuckle at that one. What else were some of your faves?
Those were really it. I was extremely upset that the very first commercial after the game started was me having to see Ariana Grande's fucking face in the Wicked trailer. That movie is going to be tainted for me because I cannot stand her.
Nah.
I am done.
I think you and I talked about this, but imagine everybody else in that movie working so hard. I don't get the Wicked thing. Like, I'm not a musical Broadway person. I don't really understand the appeal, but I know it's huge and that people go see it. It's a huge show. I'm assuming this movie was like a crazy, crazy budget, but imagine the cast and now like Ariana Grande having this like cheating scandal and like being with whoever that weirdo is that she's with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that you're the only one that has this movie tainted and everything else that she does. So it'll be interesting when that premieres and how that affects its release.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't see it anyways, but like, nah.
I was listening to a couple podcasts that were trying to figure out how much people got paid.
Oh, yeah.
Because it costs so much to even be the company to buy 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then it costs so much to have, for example, Beyonce in your commercial, Jennifer Aniston, you know, whoever. So that's always interesting.
I saw a funny, I don't know if it was just a post or if it was a meme or something, but the feet commercial that ended up being like the, it's not God's Got This, but you know, one of the Jesus commercials.
Oh,
and I was
yeah.
I wonder how much of a discount like Jesus got for the feet commercial or something.
Oh, seriously.
And it played more than once, or there was at least two or three of the Jesus commercials. Again, when you think of the money that it costs to put those commercials out there, really interesting. I also am going to applaud whoever put on that Tesla commercial about, I think it's the parents or something, about all of these safety warnings, and they keep bringing it up to Tesla about its features or something and how dangerous they are. It's killing people. And they paid the money to get that commercial on the Super Bowl.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
I thought that was pretty fucking nuts. Like, good for you guys.
I feel like the Jesus commercial you're talking about, I feel like those are funded by something. Like, I feel like they're meant to draw you and I in thinking it's really about Jesus when it's really funded by a greater evil.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay.
Oh, I don't look at those commercials and think they're like innocent and like,
okay,
at all.
Okay.
Nah.
I feel like political wise, they're funded by bigger groups, yeah, of political
for
figures.
Sure.
I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure.
I don't, whenever I see one of those commercials and I can figure out that it's one of those commercials, it makes me really mad.
For sure.
That's all. I will say the Twister premiere or preview that we got during the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Free loves remakes, everybody.
I don't understand. I've talked about this a lot in my broken record, but start making new content. Was Twister that great of a movie that we need like two more movie stars to remake it 20 years later? I just don't really know.
Like 30 years later.
I guess
I don't know.
It was
19- I suppose.
You want to go get that movie back from Brandon Jensard?
Or, oh, Jesus.
I mean,
if you really think about it, nobody is going to go back and watch the old Twister anymore.
Hey, man, I don't know. It's on TV all the time.
Well, the new generation. but, you know, new people will probably see this one. So
it's got
Glenn Powell.
And I can never think of her name.
Daisy Edgar Jones or whatever.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which I love her.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll watch it.
Like, how are you going to feel in a couple years when they like remake Titanic?
Ooh, I don't think you can.
I know. Like, this is my fear. You know who else is getting a lot of flack for remake thing? Jake Gyllenhaal.
Why?
He's remaking Roundhouse or one of those movies.
Animal House?
No.
Oh.
Like one of the fighting, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone. It was in my
notebooks. Oh, got it. Okay. Sure.
He's getting a lot of shit. Any other Super Bowl stuff? Game-wise stuff. I'm assuming we have some Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce topics.
Oh, yeah, let's move on to some TNT stuff.
Yes. Can I, before you start, can I tell you the stat that I read this week? Is that 20% of Americans believe in the conspiracy theory of Travis and Kelce, or Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Excellent. Smart.
I honestly thought it was going to be higher. So
yeah, for sure.
Everybody.
Yeah, let's go through like TNT, and I have a couple also like random Super Bowl things.
Okay. As Mark and I were prepping, because we did host for Super Bowl, still amazing, just, we can confirm Taylor Swift has landed in Las Vegas. We can confirm. Blah, blah, blah. It was a lot.
It was a lot. She looked great.
Super cute.
In her suite was Blake Lively, who I was not the only one to make the town reference. A lot of people did.
Mm-hmm.
And Ice Spice, who is so adorable. I could die. She's just so cute.
Jason Kelce had a lot of like, I mean, so did Travis, but Jason Kelce said this was his first time meeting her, and basically she's just lovely.
And then, so yeah, Jason Kelce was in there and his wife. And then some other people. I don't really know.
Apparently Miles Teller and his wife, I think,
oh,
were,
yeah,
somewhere.
Keely,
in there.
I follow her on Instagram now. She's a joy.
Lana. Lana got knocked over. She's fine.
Yeah, she was below them, and then she was in.
Yeah, I wonder if they like reached her and,
right,
not sure,
hoisted her. Yeah, she went down on the field. She was so happy. They partied the night away.
How many times did you watch the videos of them talking to try to like decipher what they were saying?
Not as many as you would probably think.
Okay. So cute.
Cute. I watched the ones in the club a lot, like of,
yeah,
them singing that one song
you
together.
Belong with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She said, I just saw it today, but she said that was like the most romantic thing that anybody has ever done.
Oh my God.
Getting serenaded with her own song.
Right.
I love that song.
It's so good. I also thought it was hilarious because she released that video of her parents,
mm-hmm,
in the club and like her making the ooh face.
She has wonderful facial expressions.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then here's what I'm going to, I have a hot take and you're not going to like it. Prepare yourself. And I thought this before I heard it on the Disrespectfully podcast with Katie and Dana. Did you listen to that this
week?
No,
I did not yet.
I got the major ick from Travis Kelce this week.
Because of the thing?
Because of the Viva Las Vegas. Did you watch him singing that?
Yeah.
I was so icked out, and I did watch Taylor's face, and I feel like she was a little icked out too.
During like the press conference at the end.
Yeah,
right?
When
okay.
he was like,
yeah, yeah,
singing Viva Las Vegas. And also like, you have to fight for your right to party. Like, he's not in Wrestle Fucking Mania. So cringy and ick. And then I'm wondering to myself, what are these two going to talk about if they spend like more than 3 months together?
Hey, Paula Abdul.
Paula Abdul?
Opposites attract.
Jesus Christ. I'm just curious. I'm very curious. He kind of seems like a dumb jock to me, and she seems brilliant. And is he going to go on tour with her? And if so, again, what are they going to talk about all the time?
He has said he is going to, like, he plans on, like, going on, I don't think the whole tour, but he does plan to, like, visit her while on this tour. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
And yeah. Also, let me just say one more thing. It's almost like when you're on The Bachelor. Somebody else said this. I'm stealing it. And you're in this bubble, and you're so happy, and you're going to marry this person. And then you get out into the little bit of the real world, and it rarely works out. Now, I would love this to see this work out, but I don't know. I just don't know.
I mean, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Oh, we can but always hope.
I don't want to say, I don't know, did we all anticipate this happening? The problem with this since the beginning, and we've talked about this, is you can't keep going. It kind of brings me back to 20 years ago with J-Lo and Ben Affleck. They were like the world's sweethearts, favorite couple for a while, and then you just couldn't escape them. They were everywhere. They were on every cover of the magazines. Everything they did was out there. And this is how it is with Travis and Taylor right now, except times 1,000, because the world is not how it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So I have seen on social media, it does seem like the it's shifting. And it did not help about his whatever with Andy Reid, which I don't even want to talk about, because my favorite thing is he addressed it on the podcast and he said he doesn't give a shit what the public says about it. He said it was over the line, but him and the coach love each other and they both know that. He was really fired up. Jason Kelce did give him some shit about it. And he said, I love when people who don't have anything to fucking do with the situation get all riled up and offended. Sure. Anyways, I'm just talking in circles, but I can see that it's shifting and I hope that it doesn't lead to them breaking up, because if they're happy, I want them to stay happy. But I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Andy Reid thing, I saw that and I'm like, Jesus, calm down. That's all I thought. It didn't care. It's fine. And I have been around sports long enough to know that it goes both ways.
I know. And as soon as that happened, it was kind of like the Grammys. Like, you knew it was going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And it's fucking obnoxious. The comments I've seen about her needing to break up with him because he's a sociopath and rage issues and
yikes.
Oh my God, is she safe? Like, unfucking believable. Okay. Yeah. That's it.
Do you have any Post Malone thoughts?
He's adorable.
Ugh, I don't know about that.
No, sorry. Not like adorable, like in a Michael Cera way adorable, but when he did the performance,
it was so good.
Yeah. And he was adorable from whenever I've seen him in the past. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anything about him. I'm excited about his collab with T-Swift, and he did a great job, mm-hmm. and he looked great.
Yeah, I liked it. I also thought, I don't know if you saw the video of Brittany Mahomes taking his cowboy jacket off and replacing it with a Kansas City one. So it seems like he's got a good sense of humor and self, and it's good. I think that's it on the Super Bowl. Oh, except we will talk about your Mark's hosting job.
Yes.
Like A+.
So much food. Can I give a quick rundown? So we had a nacho bar. I went down a hole on the internet to try to find something you could buy that was comparable to nacho cheese that you get at like a baseball game or a stadium. And we basically nailed it as close mm-hmm. as we could. So yeah, nacho bar. We had chicken wings with a bunch of different sauces you could dip it into. Snack mixes. Mark made these delightful spinach, sun-dried tomato roll-up things.
Those were like my highlight.
Dude, I'm so... He brought them up to me on like Wednesday or something for lunch. And then he was like, that was the last of them. And we're so sad about it. Because God forbid we can't make more.
And then you guys made a half-baked harvest recipe with steak. It's almost like a steak bruschetta.
Yeah, it was like half-baked harvest. It's like the white wine steak crostinis. But we made them a little bit bigger. The crostinis had like a goat cheese honey spread on them. While they were good, and I've told Kristen this, but if I were to make it again, I would just do steak with that really good sauce over it, because I hate when bread gets soggy. But yeah, thank God we made those. We were all real hungry, and you know,
so good. It was really good. I feel like I did okay, but Phil and I had like 4 margaritas each
before the game started.
Probably within the first hour and a half. I don't know what our problem was. And then I stopped drinking the entire game.
Well, and this is, just to go back, this is what I hate. You know, like, I went outside and smoked, like, I had a little bit of an edible. We were all feeling good. And then I just think when the game starts off boring, mm-hmm. it is just kind of a buzzkill.
Yeah.
It was hard to get back to the whatever.
Yeah. But it was good. Yeah, I think that's all I've got on the Super Bowl. I'm sad it's over. I think Vegas was a really good place to have it. And I listened to Sheena's podcast today, and she was at the Super Bowl. She was in Vegas and then got last minute tickets. And she said it was just the best time. She's been to several Super Bowls, and this was like by far the best city to do it in. So
I believe that.
Yeah. Anything else you're clicking on?
I was clicking on the Kristen Stewart is on Rolling Stone.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that on Lainey Gossip?
I did today, but I think yesterday it was just people or whoever else was picking it up. Love her. My favorite quote that I read is, Rob and I can't just keep talking about the about that shit because it's fucking weird. It's like if someone kept asking you, I mean, for literally decades, but senior year in high school, you're like, fucking A, man. I don't know.
I love Kristen Stewart.
It was amazing. And I am so happy that she is saying this. It kind of, it all comes full circle. But can you imagine being asked about Robert Pattinson this many years later? That goes for him, too, being asked about Kristen Stewart. Like, are you guys serious?
Yeah, he's about to become a dad. I mean, get over it.
But like, for real. She looks awesome. I love her style so much. And I love that she is just kind of like, fuck off everybody.
Yeah. Yep. I know. So like the pictures are just so amazing. And the looks that she's going for, I just really appreciate it.
I hope it just really pisses a lot of people off.
I hope so too. Yeah. What a time, her and Rob Pattinson, though. That scandal. Oh, man, those pictures.
I remember like feeling kind of weird seeing Snow White and the Huntsman, but I did really like that movie, even though it was terrible.
Yeah.
I did start clicking on the Alyssa Milano drama.
Ah, yeah.
Have you like read anything about that?
Top level knowledge.
So it started however many weeks ago that she opened up a GoFundMe for her son's fucking baseball team to go on some sort of trip.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of flack for that.
Yeah.
Weird. She was at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Bad look. Bad fucking look, Alyssa Milano.
And then the Charmed drama. Did you ever watch Charmed?
I never watched one episode.
I maybe watched it here and there, but kind of what I'm happy about is that everybody's on Shannen Doherty's side. Rose McGowan, Holly Marie Combs, who is the other sister, and Alyssa Milano is just kind of deny. She had said something about how her and Shannen Doherty are like cordial, and Shannen Doherty was like, we're not fucking cordial.
Oh my God.
And that's about it. But it was a couple good chuckles.
Yeah, not a good look. And good look. I don't even know what else to say about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What I was going to say about that article I sent you today. So, turns out Travis Kelce is an executive producer in this movie, this indie film that's coming out with Morgan Freeman and other people, okay, of note.
Ed Harris,
apparently. And he's a major investor in it. So this could debunk my whole, like, thing
that's
with
true.
What do him and Taylor talk about, because maybe he has got a good sense of business acumen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
which, when you think about how many sponsorship deals or whatever that he has, and how many commercials, and just kind of he has his hands in all these different things, it does seem like he is trying to make the most of where he's at in his life right now, which I would assume is like business savvy and smart. So you did send me that article, and I like almost didn't want to read it because I thought it was just going to be bashing him and like, who does he think he is? But it didn't.
Yeah.
And I respect it more that there's reputable people in this, because I think that'll just help help the tide shifting kind of maybe go back a little bit.
Yeah.
Please stay together, Travis and Taylor.
God, the world's going to end. What are you not clicking on?
Really anything about the Jake Gyllenhaal stuff, but I do giggle every time I see one of the headlines about it. Same thing kind of as last week, any of this Kanye shit. It has already come out that Taylor Swift didn't kick him out of the Super Bowl. I didn't even know he was at the Super Bowl.
You wouldn't know because his face was covered. He was wearing some weird fucking outfit.
Oh, okay. I'm kind of lying. I did click on the Rolling Stone thing about this because whenever they talk about Kanye now, they bring up that he's like anti-Semitist, that he's a racist, that he just has so much hate. And like, basically, like, what the fuck happened to this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this weird growth thing on his lip that I didn't click on, but I saw the picture of it and it was so nasty. I don't need to see Northwest and his video.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him.
What? Like, seriously?
It's very upsetting because I love so much of his older music. Yeah, my understanding is nobody knew, not even Taylor, which suite she was going to be in. It was kept highly under wraps. So, like, the rumor was he was trying to get a seat right in front of her. And then she said no and had him kicked out. And all of this is absolutely, like, been debunked.
God, I wish it was kind of true, though. I did see that.
Oh, she could yield that power.
Uh-huh.
For sure.
I did see something about Leonardo DiCaprio. Apparently him and Kanye used to be friends, but he didn't even acknowledge his presence because they were in the same suite. Interesting.
Yeah.
God. I think that's pretty much it. I feel like I've been really Super Bowl Travis and Taylor focused. What mm-hmm. about you?
I definitely wasn't clicking on the Kanye stuff. I had heard about it on a podcast, though. Not clicking on Megan Fox.
No.
Her little picture she got, and not clicking on Travis Barker. I really don't like Travis Barker, I decided. Him and his Valentine's posts about Courtney. And again, I don't even actually know that I like Courtney. So God. Those two can just...
I feel really like proud of you that your stance on the Kardashians, I feel, has shifted. And that makes me happy.
Yeah. One other thing I'm not clicking on is how Olivia Coplo comforted Christian McCaffrey after the loss. You know, it's a game. There's going to be a winner or loser. Okay.
I think I told our brother this, but I don't know who was talking about Brock Purdy, but like part of me just wanted to like go give him a little tap on the shoulder and be like, hey, Brock Purdy, 24-year-old, you'll be back here.
Yeah. You know? Ruffle his hair.
Yeah. You'll be all right.
And then this isn't really like an unclickable, but I unfollowed the Blue Zone guy this week, Dan Buettner, whatever his name is.
Oh.
Because I find him to be problematic. And I don't really care if anybody agrees with me. He spews so much. And all of a sudden, I find him like contradicting. Okay.
Interesting.
The fact that he's so out there and he's going on all of these podcasts. And, you know, he's talking about longevity and in these Blue Zone places and how important it is for things like social interaction and to be, you know, with groups of people and talking. And then he says, though, on the flip side, on a different podcast, if you're going out to dinner, that's going to cause you to gain weight over this much time. And, you know, is this guy fucking serious? And then he's talking the other day about a toaster. If you have a toaster sitting on your counter, in 5 years, you're going to weigh more than the person who doesn't have the toaster sitting on their counter. Because you pass the toaster and you're going to want something like a Pop-Tart or a bagel or something. And I thought to myself, Pop-Tart. Is this guy fucking serious? Why don't you go fuck off?
Excellent.
Okay? So I just unfollowed. I'm like, this is fucking triggering because I love peanut butter toast, okay? And I'm not going to weigh 5 more pounds than the non-toaster person.
Do you want to, after we're done recording, you want to go take my Blue Zone cookbook and light it on fire outside?
I mean, I want to like this guy.
I understand. I've never followed that guy. I do have the cookbook because I think I watched part of a couple episodes of the Netflix and clearly it sparked something in me where I felt like I had to buy the cookbook. I'm really fucking sick of the food industry is basically my take right now.
Yeah.
We've had a toaster ever since I've been alive.
And toaster.
I'm not really evil. Sure. Do I want a Pop-Tart now that he brought that up? Yes.
I don't think it's the fucking problem. I don't think the toaster is the fucking problem. Drink clear liquids.
God.
Drink clear alcohol, everybody.
I mean, I just saw today that Cheerios has something in them. It's been found out that can cause infertility. I'm just so sick of all this shit that is spewed at us 24/7. It's like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I'm going to tell you what, people, you live a fucking life. You do whatever you goddamn want to.
Do what works for you, for the love of God.
I mean, Mark and I had a wonderful day in Boyne City yesterday. We had cheese curds for an appetizer and it was fucking delightful. I didn't look at it and be like, no, maybe I shouldn't eat this. I might get fat. Fuck off. God.
All right, moving on.
But like, if people just stopped lying all the time,
that's,
you know?
That's true. I mean, the Cheerios thing is well known, I think. I don't know. I don't know enough about it. I just feel like I remember in the last couple of years, things have come out about Cheerios and like pesticides and shit and whatever. I don't know, man. But
then when you think about it, AD and I talk about this frequently, the shit we used to eat for lunch all through high school and middle school, the fact that neither of us have diabetes and aren't dead right now is like wonderful. So
for sure.
And you're going to have people that smoke cigarettes every single day and eat all this shit food. They're going to live till 100 because
exactly. That's
just how the world is. So,
Banana Blue Zone?
For fuck's sake. Just god damn it.
Fucking Sardinia? I don't fucking know, man.
Sardinia?
I think that's one of the Blue Zone places. Cambodia is. Neverland? I mean, anyways, what are you watching?
How happy were you when you saw that Arizona is coming back to Grey's?
Well, I was happy. And then it's just for an episode, though.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
she's just guest starring.
I mean, her and... fucking what's her face did like the whole Instagram
so
video.
I know.
What?
Camila Luddington. Yeah. Because I saw that too and then I clicked it. It was a clickable for me.
I don't know, clicked it. Abbott Elementary is back.
Nice.
It was a real treat of a first episode. We love that show. Funny enough, there was a couple Eagle presences on the first episode of this season. Because, you know, the show's in Philadelphia.
Right. Who was on there? Do you know?
At first, it was...
Was Jason Kelce?
Yes.
Really?
But at first, it was Hurts, right?
Jalen Hurts?
Yep, the quarterback.
Interesting. What were they doing on there?
They were having some sort of, like, career day at their school, and, like, somehow somebody got Jalen Hurts to come on a Zoom, and then Travis Kelce and...
Jason Kelce.
Oh, my God. And then Jason Kelce and somebody else, I don't know.
Cool.
Came in there. It was pretty funny. It was kind of adorable.
That is cool.
Do you think you guys will ever get back into that show?
I've tried getting into that show several times, and I don't know why it doesn't hit with me, but
all
it
right.
doesn't.
Too many children.
It could be that. It could be that.
Mark and I were trying to find something to watch last night. He's like, isn't there just some sort of like murder mystery show or something, like the one that we just watched? And Mark has never seen Making a Murder.
Is it
Making a Murder with the Wisconsin dude?
Oh my God, you guys started watching that?
Yeah.
Weird.
I couldn't believe he's never seen it. And so we started it over. It has been eight, nine years since I've seen that. And watching it again, I have forgotten everything, but it's so intense. And so I love this for him, that he is just getting to watch the show for the first time.
That's great.
So, but I never saw the second season. Or
me either. Let me know how it is.
Cool. That's pretty much it. I will say I just started the third season of The Americans, and usually at the gym, I'll turn off The Americans at about 20 minutes and switch over to music, but it's been so intense. I gasped at the gym the other day and like put my hand over my mouth. If you guys have never seen that show, I cannot recommend it enough.
I love you, Carrie Russell.
What are you watching?
Did you ever finish The Diplomat?
No.
It got a season two as well.
I know. And somebody signed on to that show. Was it Glenn Close or something? It was not Glenn Close, but somebody has signed in for season two. It's weird that I haven't watched it.
It is super weird.
I know. Continue.
Well, to your probably surprise, the other night, it was Tuesday. So we record this, it's Friday today. So Bill was out of town for work, and it was Tuesday night, and I was really looking to watch something, and I just didn't know what. And you and I were talking, and I'm like, maybe I should watch some sort of like a rom-com. I ended up watching the Eras Tour.
Whoa.
Well, like 2 hours and 10 minutes of it. I mean, it's long.
Oh my God.
And it was so good. I loved it. I was so happy.
Oh my God. Wonderful.
I know. I was really happy. I loved all the songs. She did so good. And it was a joy.
If we would have gotten the opportunity to even purchase tickets, we're not even going to think about the cost of it, but would you have gone?
I don't know. Because
interesting.
It's just something about being in the same room as all those like screaming people who are like yelling and singing all the songs doesn't appeal that much to me. But also I've heard it's just some sort of like out of body experience. So
we went to Reputation.
Oh, that's right.
Mark didn't want to go.
Yeah.
And he talks about this, like regrets it, not going. And
oh, he didn't go?
No.
Oh, I thought, okay.
No. So it was me, Mitch, and Caitlin. And I just remember like looking over at Mitch at some point, just like singing along to 22. And it was so much fucking fun because she's just a force. But also the weird thing about Taylor Swift is it's not just like 12-year-old girls. Majority of them are like our age.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys there. It is just a like a smorgasbord of people. And
I'm sure I would go.
You would totally go.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not obnoxious like you would think it would be. It's very fun. And yeah, everybody is just so happy and just having a great time, which conveyed well in the Eras Tour video.
It did. And I think there was only one song I didn't know. I stopped a couple songs into the 1989 era just because I had to go to bed. But she has this song, and it's either from Evermore or
Folklore.
And it's the Marjorie song about her grandma.
Oh, I don't even think I know that song.
Oh my God. It makes me almost cry every time. The way she sings it and the words, and you just really fucking feel it. She sang it in that.
Man, I must. Huh. I wasn't a huge Taylor Swift listener from the beginning. And so when she played songs from like Fearless, there was a couple really good ones, but yeah, she's just got some moving ones, you know?
She does. And then I'm still obviously in Billions. It's just so fucking good.
Which season are you in?
Middle of season 3.
And how many seasons are there?
I think 6 or something.
Okay.
So yeah, VPR. I will say that I started it on Tuesday. Phil came home. I turned it off and then didn't really, like I was cooking dinner while watching it. I wasn't paying too much attention because I just didn't really care to. But it was a good finish. I finished it last night. I feel bad for Tom Schwartz. Poor guy just wants the group back together.
I appreciated his advice after James left his birthday party. He was basically telling Sandoval, like, you just can't fucking say stuff like that. So I appreciated that. If I have to see Billy Lee anymore this season, I'm going to have a problem with that.
She's so in his corner. She's so happy to be back on fucking TV.
I just loathe her.
Yeah.
I was happy we got more time with like Katie and stuff.
But not enough time.
I don't like the jumping around so much. Is it because there just really isn't anything else like story-wise building up right now? I don't know.
That's my main problem.
Yes.
I feel like no one has a storyline.
Because it's just all right now on Scandal. Yes. And the fallout.
And I don't want it to be like that. And I don't think it will, but it's really hard for me to not see what's going on with the sandwich shop.
Yeah. Or we haven't heard anything about that really.
I know. And this is why I think I am so thankful for Sheena right now, because they are focusing on her journey a little bit. And her, you know, she's on Zoloft, she's sober. And I thought her conversation with Tom Sandoval, Sheena's sober right now, Tom Sandoval's sober. Schwartzy's like kind of soberish. And sober looks really good on these people because mm-hmm. they can fight correctly
yes.
and have conversations. And I thought Sheena and Tom's conversation was really productive in my eyes.
I think it was too. I think you like hit the nail on the head right there, that the sobriety,
are you drunk right now?
Sobriety of these two, because, and again, when she was talking about being a narcissist and narcissists will never admit they're a narcissist, and then out of fucking nowhere, he's like, yeah, that's why Lala will never admit she is one. And then she gets up and leaves.
Mm.
I loved it.
For sure.
Man.
And I do believe he's got a point about the fact that he blocked her and she has a problem with that. And he definitely has a point when he says, all you were doing was bad-mouthing me on your mm-hmm. podcast and making money off, you know. So yeah. I definitely understand. And I thought he did a really good job apologizing to that one guy who came up to him and Kyle Chan's table.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He felt for that guy. And I don't understand why we can't get that with everybody else.
Yeah. That Jesse.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, huge seizure, like out of nowhere.
That's right.
And like had a brain tumor and is like just fucking nuts.
Yeah.
So Tom Sandoval talked about this on his podcast this week about the blocking and things like that. And I get it. He has, if I were Tom Sandoval, I would block all these people too, because you can only take so much as a human, yeah. no matter what happens. I think it's weird that Sheena expected him to not block her or yeah. something. Yeah. I like Kyle Chan. Kyle Chan was on his
podcast.
He's
a good little
week.
Like friend of.
Yeah.
So we'll call him.
And he had some really good advice for him on his podcast this week, which I'm assuming he has said throughout this whole time. He's not just like a yes person like they made him seem in the episode, which was actually very funny. So he said him and Kyle Chan, when they went to Sir, that they didn't know anybody else was there. So when they saw Sheena like walk by and stuff, that was just kind of like a whole genuine surprise.
It seemed
thing.
Genuine.
Yeah. What'd you think of those sunglasses?
I liked them.
They worked until they didn't.
Yeah.
It was just like super dark and I didn't need to see her anymore, like looking down from the glasses
yeah.
or whatever.
I didn't want to like them. And I saw comments about them because last year when she had those sunglasses on inside at Ariana and Tom's pool party, and she was going at it with Katie about canceling.
The tiny sunglasses.
Yeah.
yeah.
Uh-huh. I hated those, but this was a good look.
Yeah.
I appreciate
they it. They all looked like amazing, and people can hate on this all they want, but I fucking loved Lala's outfit. If I looked like Lala, I would wear something like that.
Oh yeah, she's
good.
So pretty.
Lord.
Yeah.
I appreciated the Lisa and Sandoval conversation.
Mm-hmm.
She was like continuing to like call him out on the shit, because and James said this on Watch What Happens Live, like he's been like this from the beginning. I'm sorry but, and she was really calling him out on it. And I honestly do believe that he was in a really bad place.
Of course.
And I believe the suicidal thoughts that he talks about. And I did feel for Lisa when he was bringing that up, because she talked about her brother.
Yeah.
And I just want to really give him the benefit of the doubt that he's not the person that would lie about that to Lisa. Yeah. That's, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot more to say about the episode. I did too. Like, I did also like that conversation. So Tahoe next week, I'm excited. I would love to go to Tahoe in general, and I would love to go to this Wolf. I think it's called Wolf.
Oh,
yeah. We have been to Vanderpump Gardens in Vegas, so
I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it takes. When we're in California, we need to go to one of them. I don't even care which one.
Nice.
I think Tahoe, I'm hoping, is going to be the turning point for this season.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just have to see.
Do you have any other Vanderpump thoughts or...
I don't think so. I've been a little off of my podcast this week. I did listen to Lala's, and she did make the same point where she thinks these first two episodes have been kind of snoozers and that they all just keep talking about Tahoe. So that is why I'm getting my hopes up for that episode. And again, I just want them to stop ending on To Be Continued.
Yeah.
James brought that up. I will say I loved him on Watch What Happens Live. He was hilarious.
Okay.
And just so cute.
Oh, Sober also looks good on him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved Lala's advice to, I forget who was saying it, but she was like, people that are drinking should not be telling other people to be sober. I don't know who was telling this to James or who was telling it to somebody. But
oh, yeah.
Oh, and the last thing I want to mention, too, is I honestly want to hear more about Tom Schwartz's family.
Yeah.
That little snippet that he gave about his brother, like, holy shit. So yeah. Sandoval said on his podcast this week that his brother now has gotten a liver transplant because he was in cirrhosis. Yeah. Holy shit.
Wow. Yeah, no, for sure. These are the things.
That his brother got mugged and he thinks like that's why what led to like his drinking and stuff. Like, because he has alluded to the fact that when him and Katie, before she like said she wanted divorce, his dad was really sick. Like his brother was really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know more about that stuff because I want to not be annoyed by Schwartz all the time.
For sure.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Woof.
Can I talk about the Demi Moore memoir?
Yeah.
Cool. I finished it. I've got some highlights. You ready?
Are you ready for it?
I know. She landed St. Elmo's Fire. You've seen St. Elmo's Fire.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
So good. And she was in the midst of like a really bad drug habit. She was doing a lot of cocaine, which like basically mirrors her character. Jules also does a lot of cocaine. But Joel Schumacher, the director, producer, whatever. Yeah, that guy.
Whoa.
Basically made her go to rehab. And ultimately, like, she credits him for saving her life. She wasn't, like, a known actress. And, you know, he made her go to rehab for only a couple weeks, but then to have a sober companion 24/7. And she said from that moment on, for her whole life, she worked the program and never drank or did drugs again until Ashton Kutcher recommended she have some wine.
Oof.
Yeah. So that was really interesting. She met Bruce Willis. She was engaged to Emilio Estevez, who she met in St. Elmo's Fire. He cheated on her, but they still went to a movie premiere together as friends where she met Bruce Willis. Of course, became husband, baby daddy, three kids. She was the highest paid actress at $12 million a picture during like G.I. Jane and Striptease.
Oh. Did you ever see G.I. Jane?
I don't think I did, but she really went through like the Navy SEAL training, like a shorter version of it.
It is a really good movie. It's really fucked up, but it's really good. Okay. She does an amazing job.
I should say, she talks so much about it and how it really wasn't like that well received. And
yeah,
but yeah, it was really good hearing her talk about that. She met Ashton through Sarah Foster. Do you know who Sarah Foster is? David Foster's daughter?
No.
Oh, she's like big Hollywood person, like a friend of all the celebrities. You wouldn't really know her. I don't think
you'd recognize her.
I don't know. But she met Ashton through Sarah Foster, and they were so happy. At one point, they were like 6 months pregnant, and she basically, the baby just like lost a heartbeat. They were married for almost 6 years. He pushed her into having a threesome towards the end, or, you know, recommended it. And she was so, so desperate to keep him that she did, like, I think twice. On a vacation, he was like, you should just have a glass of wine. And she's like, I should. She wanted to be the fun
young wife, or the fun wife who has a young husband and can just like keep up with
them. Yeah. And then basically it ended with them. So she was in New York. He cheated on her with a 21-year-old who they were at a bowling alley, like her and him and her daughter. And this 21-year-old slipped him her phone number on a napkin. And he later showed to me, and she's like, well, she was so upset. And then he ended up calling her and having sex with her. Said that he had blurred lines because of the threesome. And then they worked on their marriage for like a year, and they were coming up on their 6th wedding anniversary, which was also Danny Masterson. Yeah. His bachelor party, which Ashton went to and then came back and celebrated the 6-year anniversary. And then it came out that he cheated on Demi at the bachelor party. I mean, what a fucker.
Hey, Ashton Sandoval. God, fuck Ashton Kutcher.
I mean, I know. So anyways, it was a really good read. I just hope that didn't bore everybody too much, but it was really good.
That is just, and if I remember correctly, I feel like the public went with Ashton Kutcher on this.
Probably.
Because I don't think she came out and said any of this against him. I feel like it was just kind of like one of these things. They announced the divorce. Like, I think her daughters were very close to him.
Yeah, her daughters didn't talk to her for several years because she was like doing drugs. And
so she did eventually like relapse fully.
So yeah, she had the drink and then she started doing like Vicodin type stuff. And one night with Rumor, who is the only daughter still talking to her, she did the huff thing from the aerosol can. Duster? I don't think it was Duster. It's something like that. I don't know. And she scared Rumor so much that Rumor didn't talk to her anymore. And it took years. Like, she had to go to rehab. They said they wouldn't talk to her, but then, like, they wouldn't talk to her for, like, a year after rehab either, or something crazy.
I wonder, because it is an interesting dynamic they all have, because she seemingly lives with her daughters and Bruce Willis and Bruce Willis's new wife.
They live in the same town, Haley, Idaho.
Okay. But they do seem like spend a ton of time together as like
they're all really
big,
close.
Like blended family.
When her and Bruce got divorced, he bought the house across the street. Okay. And I think that's maybe where he lives with his wife. And he's got like two other kids. And
got it.
Yeah.
Because I do remember, and I mean, I can't even remember the details, but that she was on like a slippery slope for a while. I didn't know she had been sober and like fell off the wagon because of that shitbag.
She was down to 96 pounds when she.
Oh my God.
She couldn't eat.
Hey, Mila Kunis, wake the fuck up. Like, are you serious? I love Mila Kunis.
I know.
He's going to cheat on her if she hasn't already. This is gross. He's gross. I hate him so much. And good for Demi Moore. And you know what? When you look at all of this, she has obviously come out on top. And it says something about her character that they are like all really close knit as a family now. And with Bruce Willis's diagnosis, it's fucking heartbreaking. And I'm glad that they all talk to each other again. Like, oh, what a nightmare.
I know. So good. So I started the Jeanette McCurdy one memoir. She was on like iCarly or something like that.
Oh.
Because Katie recommended it. But it turns out my Spotify premium, you can only have 15 hours of free books a month. So I went to click on it today and it was like, you can re-up for $13. And I'm like, fuck off. So I have to wait 2 weeks.
And I was going to say, and then as you look at your calendar, you're like, it's only the 16th.
So I have to like wait 2 weeks. Maybe I'll start listening to them on like 1.5 times or something.
I'll give you my password for $5.
Anyways.
Well, at least you know about the limit now. So you can pace yourself accordingly when you get to March. You've inspired me to really start listening to these audiobooks.
I don't think I could listen to any other kind of book at work except a memoir, because you can kind of dip in and out without losing too much, you know? So
I wonder after this iCarly girl, I wonder who's going to be next.
I don't know. There's so many.
I really do want to read the Playboy.
They're all on there.
Yeah.
The new Crystal,
they all have one, right?
Yeah, Crystal has one, and then Kendra. Holly has two. I don't know. I haven't seen Kendra's.
Okay.
But.
I can't remember. Maybe it's just Holly. Man. So one of our listeners, Kate, messaged me and said she had started watching Vanderpump.
Oh.
And which I love when people get into the show. And she said she got some advice from friends that said she can basically watch, I forget what the number was, watch the first like 4 seasons and then just skip the rest.
Oh, I would personally skip the first like 3 seasons and then start.
See, and maybe she will listen to your advice. I'm a terrible person on this advice because, and I told her this, I said, well, I've watched these seasons back like a bunch of times now. And I said, 8 and 9 are real tough seasons, but there's still things that you can find like funny. And I just told her that I wouldn't skip it. But
yeah, unless you're like super busy in life.
She was like, well, I did the math and there's X number of episodes, which means I'm going to be spending this much time watching TV. She's like, I just don't know if I can do it. I just wonder what it's like to be that kind of person that's like motivated and can't really commit to sit on the couch all the time and watch TV.
It is a lot because they have like 24 episodes in a season or something. So
she said something about if she finishes the entire series, will people still be talking about it? I'm like, well, it's already been on for like 11, 12 years, but I guess they are getting up there. So you never know. But
yeah. But if she wants to watch the spinoffs with the history, you know?
That's true.
That's how we feel about The Housewives, though.
Yeah.
By the way, have you heard of the show Traitors?
Yes. Nick Viall talks about that show a lot.
I know. Katie watches it, too, and she suggests that we really watch it.
Cock.
You know who hosts that, I think, is that one guy.
It's
not Pee-wee Herman, but.
No, it's, can you look this up while I'm thinking of it? I saw all of these people with these weird traitor pictures. I mean, there's a lot of Survivor people on there. There's a lot, like Parvati's on there. Sandra?
Oh yeah, Sandra.
Sandra, yeah, she's on there. And fucking Pilot Pete's on there. There's a ton of people on that show.
Alan Cumming hosts it.
From who's
he
Alan?
He was on The Good Wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Man, I love him.
I know. He's having a real moment, apparently.
But it's on, I can ask Mark to get it, but yeah, I think it's only on Peacock.
Yeah. Peacock, baby. Phil sent me an article from The Times today, and it says, where did our strange use of like come from?
Kristen is very upset because she listened to our episode from last week, and she was very upset about her use of like a lot, and it is just something that we say a lot.
Yeah. So anyways, I read part of the article. It focuses way too much on like the historicals of grammar, and
oh,
I don't care that much.
No, I don't care. At least when we dictate an email or something, we can use the right theirs, and that
it's
kind
absolutely
of thing.
Correct.
So if we say like too much, we make up for it in other ways.
Plus, I had my review at my real job today, and I got a 4 for communication.
Are you just dragging this out because you know that I have to go get ready?
No, let's end this shit.
Mark and I are going to Spring and Porter in a little bit. It's fine.
Looks like you still have showers.
I still have to shower. Complaint about the gym. I put my sweatshirt and my coat in one of the cubbies like you're supposed to. Somebody must have put like their wet shoes in there. So I went to put my sweatshirt on after the gym, and like half my sleeve was wet. And, you know, I'm already wet from sweat. It was just...
You really got to look. I'm going to say this is kind of your fault, so...
I mean, I just... Anyways. Well, I can't wait to see what this next week brings for us.
Me too.
As always, thanks for listening. You know where to find us on Instagram. We'll be back with you next week.
Bye-ya.
Bye. Tom Sandoval doesn't have a very good editor.
What the fuck?
What?
What?
Fuck?
What is it?
It's a stick phone.
Oh my god,
microphone.
It was this close from my face.
Oh my god.
What the fuck? I hate it here. Don't fling it towards me. Is it still there?
God. It is still there.
Why can I hate it?
It's big. Ooh.
Count to three and do it. We don't have a lot of time. 1, 2, 3. Just crush it hard.
I don't even know where my phone is. Did I throw it somewhere? I would rather find a stink bug up here than like anything else.
Yeah. They're just ugly.
Yeah.
They're like a box elder bug kind of, but worse. So it's like not that bad, but yeah, they're just so ugly.
Like, if it went to just Ben right there, which that thing was in front of my face for God knows how long, I'm so glad I fucking noticed it. Like, what the fuck was it doing there? I'm sure Mark is going to have real fun with that one. Okay. Well, here we go, huh? Guess it's my turn to intro.